Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Hello, and welcome to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Are you an individual who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what services, new information, activities, or other types of services might be available to improve your life experience? Or are you an individual who has a family member or a friend who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what might be out there to help their life experience? With this new podcast series, we hope to create an opportunity for you to learn more about these services, resources, and whatever might be available to improve the blind experience. To accomplish this, we'll be discussing and examining resources, services, and issues related to the blind experience with individuals who are experts in the field and many of whom are blind or have low vision themselves. So whether you're an individual who is blind and having some issues or just curious, or an individual who is going through a diagnosis at this time, or dealing with the issues of a degenerative eye disease, or otherwise just curious about the blind experience, hopefully you will find something in these discussions that will benefit you. I'll be bringing my perspective as an individual who was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa while in college and lost vision gradually until the age of 40, where I became totally blind. The podcast will use this personal frame of reference to examine the blind experience, providing information that will enhance the ability of individuals who are blind and vision impaired to live, work, and thrive in their communities. So let's get started.
Jimmy, I want to say thanks for coming on the Blind Experience podcast. For our audience, I want to introduce to you Mr. Jimmy Morris. He is an orientation and mobility instructor at the Virginia Center for the Blind and Vision Impaired. Jimmy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm excited to be here today. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. One of the things I'd like to do is if you could just sort of tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are right now at the Center for the Blind.
Well, back in my college days a few years ago, when I was 24, I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, which is commonly known as night blindness, but it's an hereditary eye disease that kind of your vision deteriorates over the years on there. And at that moment in my life, I really had no clue how it was going to impact me, and I didn't think it was going to impact me. I'm in college having the time of my life and learning a little bit as well. So on that. My vision continued to get a little bit worse and worse on there. After graduating from school, I did some sales. I sold copy machines for about a year, and then I went into the finance business and I started managing my own finance company there probably about 3 or 4 years after college. And then as my vision kept deteriorating, it became a little bit harder and harder to do my job. So, you know, I kind of started adjusting. I had to find ways to adapt. I became very good at adapting on that. So I did that. You know, I found new technology, sometimes some technology that would help me. And I spent a lot of money on some technology that was a waste of time, like technology, but mm-hmm. I found tools that would help me. And then when I was 33, you know, I finally said I can't see to drive anymore. So I turned my driver's license. That was a very tough day. But I found ways to start adapting and overcoming those as well. And as I became a little bit for the next 10 years or so, as I was in the field of the finance, job became harder and harder. Technology kept advancing, these touch screens and all that stuff that just doesn't work for me as a blind person anymore. So I finally got to a point where I realized that either I had to make a change or I was going to fall flat on my face. So I'd reached out to the DBVI and had them come to my house and show me some techniques and some stuff like that, or cooking. But I'd been living on my own for 20 years, so I knew how to cook. I felt comfortable with that. That wasn't a problem there. It was really about technology for me. I had an O&M instructor come to my house, and I had never used a cane at that point and really had nothing to do with the cane. So on there, but he kind of showed me some technology, the iPhone and how it was accessible. And it kind of opened my world, because in 2015, I was still using a flip phone. So kind of really opened my eyes up. After a while, I realized I wanted training. So on October the 12th of 2015, I started as a student at the Virginia Rehabilitation Center. And on there and started going through the process. And my initial intention was just there to be for 4 months. That quickly started changing very quickly, because I started understanding who I was in that same aspect, or who I thought I was that I really am not, because I felt very vulnerable internally. You didn't tell from the outside, but I was an emotional wreck from internal. But it started gave me a higher level of confidence and freedom, where I felt like I was becoming alive again, is how I would describe it on there. And then I was still on family medical leave from work. So my plan was to go back to work. 4 months came. I wasn't ready to leave, and I asked for another 2 months, and so I still had the family medical leave. And, so I took that extra 2 months, still wasn't ready, and I wasn't willing to leave at that point. I knew I'd probably lose my job, but the training and the confidence that I'd gained in the belief in myself was just so powerful. I mean, it was extremely powerful. It's worth more than that job for me at that moment. And that's kind of hard for me to say that, because my job became my life. Because of my blindness, because that was where I felt I was the most secure at. But so after 6 months, I got that phone call, and they let me go. And I knew it was going to happen, and I can't blame them. Mm-hmm. Looking back at it now, in the moment, that was a hurt. That was hard after 20 years.
So it was tough on you then. Yeah,
absolutely. It was the toughest thing I ever did. I have a told story on that, so that was a very tough job, a tough situation. So, but I realized after some hard contemplating and taking this nice long walk to Azalea in Chamberlain, which is a very complex intersection, and crossed
it. Yes, it is.
And crossed it, and the world lifted. The world literally lifted, and I knew that I was going to be okay. You know, I knew that I was going to be, and I had a decision to make. You know, what do I want to do now? I had truly fallen in love with the cane, you know, truly fallen in love with what it meant to me. And some people had thrown some suggestions in my head. So I started thinking about it. So I decided to go back to grad school, study for the GREs after 25 years of being out of school. And that was a process in itself. And then I went back to school in Louisiana Tech. I had got my certification for National Orientation Mobility Certification. And then luckily enough, Virginia just happened to have an opening, and I was lucky enough to kind of get hired back. And passing on what people passed on to me, that freedom that I felt like I gained, and you know, being able to do the things that I want to do. So that's kind of how I got where I'm at today, and with a lot more details in between. But yeah.
So you went from the loan business to an orientation and mobility instructor, and I find it's interesting the way you describe you fell in love with the long white cane, because it sounds like it meant independence to you and freedom to move about. And that was equally important to you as a step on a future journey than holding on to a job that might have been challenging for you to do without that kind of training and independence.
Yeah, absolutely. The cane definitely meant independence and freedom. And I think it meant more for me than just that. I mean, that independence and freedom, that's such a broad word, but it's very tough. It's hard. I don't know if I could ever really truly put it in words. But, you know, changing careers, you know, with that same, you know, for 20 years, I was a very vulnerable person on the interior. You know, mm-hmm. I was an emotional wreck. I wasn't happy. I thought I was very weak, a very inferior person because of the way my blindness made me feel. Mm-hmm. For 20 years, you never heard me say the word low vision or blind. You wouldn't hear that out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. People, my parents, my family knew not to ask me about it because it would make me mad, and I would say things that I probably regretted.
But I shouldn't have been saying.
But that was my emotions, and you know, I was holding all those things in, on that. So I was holding all those things in there. So I learned to, you know, but not only did it teach me how to travel and go where I want to, it taught me to become me again. It taught me to not only like myself, but really to love myself again, and I felt comfortable who I was. So that is power to me. That really was power. It made me become whole again, I think, is that same aspect. So that's kind of where, and then it kind of led me to where I was like, what do I want to do now? And I just loved it.
Okay. You know, we had some similar points in our journeys. I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at 19, and I also gave up driving. In my case, it was at 30. And it was just because it was time to renew the license, and I just decided I would be safer than to not renew the license. And it's, as you said, it's a hard thing to do when you've had that kind of freedom to say, yeah, I think it's best for everybody involved, not just me, if I don't do this. So those are some tough adjustments we have to make along the way as we face this. I think of it as a shrinking field of vision that you have to continually adjust to, when that's sort of what you were describing there. So Jimmy, tell me about teaching people to do the cane travel. You know, how do you approach that mobility process?
So I think it really starts with setting those very high expectations and getting people to believe on there that they can do these things, because unfortunately society as a whole will tell them that you can't do this, you can't do this, or, you know.
Or your mom will tell you, you can't do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Or you walk through the store and somebody will grab a hold of you and try to drag you along. But, you know, getting you to start to believe again and developing that sense of hope, on there and saying, hey, these are what's possible. And when I first say these things to Pete, you're probably going to say, yeah, you're crazy, you're nuts, there's no way.
Yeah.
But I tell people from the very beginning, it's like, you may not fully believe that you can do these things, but my hope is, as we move on, that you're going to start believing yourself. But for right now, I have enough belief in you, and I know that you can. I will believe for you, but my goal is to show you those things that you can do through small successes. The smallest successes leads into those big successes, you know. Just real quick, one quick example that kind of really leads out and that stands out for me so much is, you know, I was working with an individual and, you know, she hadn't been anywhere really for the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I can remember the weekend she came back. She says, Jimmy, guess where I went? I went and got my hair cut by myself for the first time.
Wow.
That was power. That was huge for her. That was a turning point for her. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's if you look at it in the big picture, it seems very small, but that is a huge stepping stone. So helping you take those small steps to get to take those large steps. So that's kind of how I approach that, with lots of high expectations and really pushing you outside that comfort zone. And that's overcoming those fears, because it is fear. It's very scary.
I agree. Yeah. When I was when I gave up the car, that was around age 29 or 30, and I was at a graduate school, and I had just become a client of a blind agency in that state, and I had done some cane travel. And so I had the night blindness thing going, almost totally blind at night. And the guy says, you need to walk home from your office to your house tonight or tomorrow night, whatever the time frame was, by yourself, no assistance, because you need to see if you can make it. And I knew the route because I'd been through it during the day with the cane practicing. But it was scary as it can be for me to do that. I had a backpack on. I had my windbreaker on. It was nylon. I kept hearing this noise behind me, and I would just turn around to see who was coming behind me. But it turned out it was my backpack on the windbreaker. I was just nervous the whole time. But I was able. It was about a mile. It wasn't, you know, a long hike, but I had to do it. And it was one of those things that you just – but the guy said, you could do this, just like you're talking about. And – I made it through that, but that was a hard step to take, that first one out of the office to head towards home and doing all that. It's a bit of a challenge.
You know, you're absolutely – fear is probably the most powerful emotion there is, you know, on there, and it can really motivate you or debilitate you. And you have that choice, but you have to have those right resources.
It's a good way to say it. It's a choice. But with the skills. So what you're describing is confidence, building people's confidence in themselves and their skill sets. So it sounds like you're training both the skills that they need plus helping them boost that confidence to know that they can do this themselves.
Absolutely. Confidence is probably the biggest part of this process, getting you to believe in yourself. Because when you believe, you can move forward. You know, someone used to tell me is you can have all the confidence in the world, but no skills and you still go nowhere. So they both go hand in hand. But those skill sets that you're learning helps you gain that confidence because it gives you that basic foundation to be able to learn successfully do that. And, you know, as we're going through this process, you know, you don't start off at crossing a big complex intersection. We start off very small and, you know, and start building up that confidence. So to help you start gaining that confidence. So that is a huge part of that process and helping you really overcome those fears and then start understanding what is possible. And I think that's the big thing is finding out, wait a minute, that's possible, because I didn't know how many things were possible. Now that I look back, when I was like, I didn't know these things were possible. I thought they were out of reach for me, but they're not. There's nothing out of reach for you.
Yeah,
they're all possible. It's just a matter of what you got to do to get there and how you got to do it. And sometimes we have to look at life totally
differently. How much you want it.
How much you want it. But confidence and belief is probably 80% of what I talk about in helping people gain that. Because once you believe in yourself, you're willing to take that step of faith, take that step outside your comfort zone, or that leap of faith is what I call.
There you go.
So it's huge.
Yeah. Now, how much has technology changed how you train people?
You know, technology has definitely changed the way you kind of approach different things, but I kind of approach this way in certain places. I think we all have to learn how to walk first. So understanding the fundamentals of how a cane works and how to use that safely and effectively is my number one priority. Because because technology, even though it's a beautiful thing, sometimes it fails. I don't want that to allow you to stop.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes do introduce, you know, I just had a student that I was working with, we were working with virtually. We introduced Lazarillo, which is GPS apps that helps you navigate the world. But during one of his lessons, the technology stopped, but he had already learned those skills that he was still able to make it to that destination by asking questions and understanding different things about the address system. So in the beginning, it's really about fundamentals and how you can do it without that technology. And then we start introducing that as you start gaining that experience and that confidence that you can believe in yourself. Because unfortunately, the technology is great, but it also limits your ability to believe in yourself a little bit as well from the very beginning. Because, well, I got this to rely on. This is my safety. My Linus blanket, as people like to say. You know, that's my safety zone. And I don't want that to be that. I want you to be your safety zone. So that's you want you to be that Linus blanket for yourself. So you know how to do it independently.
So one of the important points is that people need to learn their skill set themselves so that they can get there, and then the technology is an add-on to that.
Absolutely. That's the added bonus. You know, it's an added bonus, but it's not the all in be all.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me from sort of the experiences I've been hearing from folks. I'm a big believer that everybody's got a travel story. So have you got a travel story you can share?
Absolutely. I think my biggest, the travel story that success that sticks out in my mind, there's a whole bunch of those, that some good and some bad, but the first one is really my first travel when I decided to, after going through training, I decided to go to Louisiana. I was making a big career change in my life. So I was like, I got to make sure I do my homework. So I decided to fly down to Louisiana for 4 days to check out the school and the environment that I was going to be in. So I can remember traveling for the first time non-visually, going through the Richmond Airport, through Atlanta, then back through to Monroe on there. And I can just tell you that fear was very overwhelming. extremely overwhelming because it's so much information that you have to gather and stuff. I was like, oh, I'm going to miss my flight. I'm going to do this, but and this stuff. But as I was going through the airport, you know, I look back on it now. It really wasn't that bad in the moment. It was horrible. But I was like, just remember going through the airport, figuring out and asking questions to people, figuring out how to do those things or how to get through security, how to get on the plane and all that kind of stuff. So I just think I sit back on that. I can just remember when I was arriving in Monroe after going through to Atlanta and then figuring out how to transfer planes and had to jump on the tram and get there.
Oh,
and I left myself plenty of time. So I wasn't in a rush. I didn't have a 20-minute delay. I had an hour and a half or 2 hours. So I had time to explore. So I was able to do that. But I can just remember when I touched down in Monroe and after I got my baggage claims and baggage, oh, wow. You know, I was like, yeah. I just did this. And to me, that's just one of those things that helps develop that confidence by experiencing that. Because I don't know if I knew really at that moment, was it really possible until I actually did it.
Yeah. I find that the plane travel, particularly by myself, I don't do much of that anymore, of course, right now. But that was a challenge when I was traveling for my job some. And I was going through, I don't remember where I was going, but as a part of the process, it was going through Charlotte. And I do what you just said, you'd leave a couple hours or an hour and a half, whatever, between flights. And I got some, and I didn't have, my cane travel was okay, but it wasn't really good. So I got some assistance from the airline going from gate A to gate B to catch my connector flight. And we stopped at a bathroom along the way. And so I decided before I got on that plane, I'd go back to the bathroom. So I said, well, I can do this. So I tapped my way back to the bathroom. And I got inside the bathroom. And this female voice said to me, sir, I think you're in the wrong bathroom. And I said, well, based on your voice, so do I. And I was so glad I had my cane out. Because without that, I might have been in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I'd say you would have been in a bit of trouble. At least they saw your cane. Yeah, absolutely. But that's happened to all of us, and I promise it's going to it's happened to me, and it'll probably happen again. So, absolutely.
But you just got to, you know, find these stories and think about them. But the whole time I travel like you do, what you were just describing, I was nervous. Mm. Because, you know, until I got in that second plane in my seat, sitting down, I went, oh, I'm good at that point. But until then, it's like, am I going to make it? What's the transfer going to be like? And I think learning the cane travel so that you could do more of that yourself would be a huge advantage to how I tried it when I was first doing it. What advice would you give to somebody who's out there thinking about, you know, they've got some vision that's going down? When's the right time, do you think, to make that call to say, I think I need to learn something about the cane?
So that's absolutely a great question. That's probably the very toughest question, one of the toughest questions, I think, to answer, to be honest with you. And the reason why is because we're all individuals. Mm-hmm. You are an individual. You are yourself, and you got to figure out what works for you. But if it's the way I like to approach this is if it's hindering you from doing the things that you want to do when you want to do those, and you're afraid to step outside your house or afraid to go to that restaurant at nighttime because it's dark, you know, you may want to start thinking about training. You may want to start thinking about reaching out to people for advice. And, you know, and even if you're not really ready to make those first steps to start using a cane, find organizations or find individuals that can help you and talk you through that so you can kind of start learning what is possible on there. And I think that's the big thing, because we all get that perception that my life's over, but it's really mm-hmm. not. It's just beginning. You are still you. You're just going to learn how to do these things in a different way, in an alternative way. You know, you're not going to rely on the vision as much as you were. You're going to rely on the sense of what the cane's telling you, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, and learning how to ask great questions to people, how to ask those questions. So training for me, just to answer your question in short, is find those resources that's going to help you move yourself forward. And you need that as soon as you feel like you're starting to lose some of your things, some of the things that you were doing, you feel like you're not doing anymore. You may want to start thinking about that. And that is a tough an adjustment. That was probably the acceptance of the cane is probably one of the hardest things to do. And again, it took me, and you can take this from experience for me, the hard way. I learned this the hard way. 20 years later, I started using the cane. It would have made my life a whole lot easier and a whole lot less troublesome and a whole lot less hours I would have had to work and everything else if I just had that necessary training from the beginning and kind of went there. But it is a process, and be patient with yourself, but find people you can talk to help you move through it.
Jimmy, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. It's been an enlightening discussion, and I really appreciate it.
I definitely appreciate it, and thank you for having me today too as well.
Thank you for listening in today on The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. I hope you found some information that was useful to you, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode.